Welcome to Middlebrow, a service of Scriptorium Daily, where big ideas undergo the digital martyrdom. And today, because we know out there are a lot of academics, parents, grandparents, who realize that they have to plunge into the world of the internet.
Internets.
Well, let's begin. Yeah, a lot of people make that mistake, Paul. There is no plural to internet unless you're referring to the Russian internet, which is an entirely different thing. There's no www in the Russian internet. But we don't want to start people out with the internets.
Is that because there's no W in the Russian language?
Well, let's begin with email. Well, no, maybe we better go back. I used to sell computers at maybe the most cutting-edge center of technology in North America today.
You're not talking Radio Shack,
yeah, I am
you?
Talking about okay. Radio Shack. Yes, when I was an employee for the Tandy Corporation, had one person come in and ask for a computer. Later, she returned it because it wasn't working. And I said, went through the normal things you would go through. And then I just randomly asked her if she had plugged it in. And she pointed out that she didn't have to plug it in because it contained a battery. And she believed the CMOS battery, this is a battery that keeps the date and time, would run the entire computer. When she discovered
the size of your thumbnail.
Yeah, she became very angry. Now, we want to help you avoid this kind of error.
This is a service that we're providing.
This is bad. So let's begin by saying that the computer is a device that was invented in the 19th century by an abacus company that plugged an abacus in to Mr. Edison's new alternating current device, and the abacus began to go back and forth, and someone said this is like an on-off switch, and they realized that information could be delivered in this way. And so beginning with the first electronic abacus in the late 19th century, late Victorian, early Edwardian period, the computer was born, and then it's putting lots of computers together that produce the internet. And, of course, the Russians, totally different. That's where you got your internets, Paul. But, Fred Sanders, if you would begin with us. If someone's approaching the American internet for the first time, they have their electronic abacus sitting in front of them. It's glowing in a friendly way.
Flashing cursor?
Yeah, the most simple of programs, Windows, you turn it on, it works right out of the box. It's really been a good thing about American technology that it's plug and play. Everything's very simple. Nothing goes bad. No device conflicts. You're looking at that screen. How do you get on the internet, Fred Sanders?
Yeah, well, if your New Year's resolution includes learning how to work the computer, then you need to know that when you get on the internet, when you click on that little E on your computer.
Yes.
Am I moving too fast, or I don't know how far back to go?
Is it a capital E or is it a small E?
I don't know what it means to click.
To click. Well, that's a good question.
I think even get started, you'll need to find someone who can help you point the mouse at an object.
Okay, I'm already confused.
The cats kill all the mice in our house.
Right, is there
right
like
away.
A trap involved
No, in this? We shouldn't just be amusing with people. By a mouse, we mean a device that helps you move what's called a cursor. Think a typewriter.
Whoa.
No, imagine, Paul,
like a small
if the letters,
man swearing or
you know,
something?
When you were typing on a manual typewriter, and there would be letters that you would strike, and it would appear.
No, I remember having the IBM Selectric. Right.
The way you think about this is when you're typing on a typewriter, the page moves back and forth,
right.
And the cursor stays still.
Horizontally.
Yes.
Yeah. On the web, it's totally different. It's the cursor moves around. There is no paper moving back and forth in the carriage. It's like the world is the paper.
Yeah, Fred, my point was that the reason a mouse is called a mouse is because all this motion is a kind of cat and mouse game. And people, as they began to approach the internet,
said,
I'm the cat, here's the mouse, and I'll capture this information. And so the device the device that you use to trap the information is called a mouse.
Okay.
Usually people call a left click, left from sinister in the Middle Ages. Mm-hmm. That's bad.
Right.
That causes things to happen. And then a right click, right hand of God, those are the good people. Right has always been good. It's not my fault that things are the way they are. So don't, left-handed people, don't blame me. My wife is left-handed. That gives us more information. So left click on the mouse, you're the cat.
your capture
does things. Anyway, go ahead, Fred. If you want to get on the internet, what do you do?
Well, the first thing you need to understand is the hypertext transfer protocol.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
so
clear.
This is up in the little line up at the top, and you need to know what uniform resource locator you're looking for.
Yes.
Now that URL line.
Yes.
Whoa. Is that the same as the hypertext transfer protocol?
Because the internet was invented by the military, everything goes by abbreviations. So the URL, the uniform resource locator.
Yeah, I got
this
that.
This locates uniform resources for you.
The good thing is you don't have to know all of this. This is information we're giving you, is kind of background information. The main thing to know is you turn your computer on, Windows will immediately work. You click on the first thing with an E on it. And
is
then
it
you
like
find,
flipping a light switch and it's just on?
And it's just on.
Yeah, okay. And if the government would quit interfering with that nice man Bill Gates, he would make this even easier.
That's true.
There are some computers, I hear, that you don't see the little E.
It just comes on and you're on the internet?
No, that the government passed some kind of law where Bill Gates couldn't put his E on every computer. I don't understand at all.
I knew a man in my town that believed he had an internet chip in his head and was seeing the internet in his eyes. Is that what you're referring to?
No, this is different.
Okay, well, that was in the Weekly World Daily. Is that part of the internet as well?
That
can
does.
Can you URL to that?
You can
data
you,
stream.
You can URL to that at an HTTP
using your mouse as the cat.
Here's the
to
thing.
Capture.
After
this
the,
is often called cheese.
After the hypertext transfer protocol, you have to have two dots, a colon, and then a /.
A colon.
Is that the /? Kind of disturbs me. Is this part of? I've heard there are a lot of bad things on the internet. Is the /? Part of that? And should Christians be involved in that? Do you think, Fred, as a theologian?
I think everyone has to have the /. Yeah.
Is this like Antichrist? What?
I think it's more like guns and roses.
Why is this? What if you don't?
That kind of.
What if you're just not into violence?
There's no other way to participate in the World Wide Web.
This is like the mark of the beast in some ways.
It is. The /, literally in computer language, means 666.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
How much work did you do in theology before you came to that conclusion?
Well, this is all recent. This is the new stuff.
Is this the stuff in numerology that you've been working on?
There's always a temptation when you get a group of academics that will just deviate. So here we have a poor professor sitting in front of a computer. He wants to get on the internet. And I think the first thing we have to say is we've got to embrace the new technology. For those of you who are still out there and don't realize it, there's a thing called email, electronic mail, that enables you to send messages from one person to another, well, really a lot faster than the United States Post Office can.
Like in less than a day?
Yeah. You can get email from one side of your university to another in a matter of days.
Hmm. What, days?
Yeah. Well, it used to take weeks, if you remember, when you were dealing with university mail system.
Well, that's mostly because it's run by, old English lit graduates or something.
Yeah. No, John Mark, you just gave the bogus etymology for email, that it's short for electronic. A lot of people think that. Email is actually the French word for enamel.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't learn French. I had to do logic as my other language with
language.
Greek, and I didn't learn French. That's awesome.
Yeah. So what is that?
Why enamel?
Well, because it's more solid than paper mail or what the kids now are calling snail mail.
Wow. Is that what the kids are saying?
Mm-hmm.
Keeping up with the really cool kind of internet jargon, as they call it, is very difficult.
Well, if you want to know what's really cutting edge, there's this brand new thing. I predict it'll be the next big thing. It's called a blog.
Blog?
Yeah, blog.
Blog.
It's a funny word, isn't it?
Blog.
Blog.
Sounds like something fell on the ground. And
that's
blog.
Four letters. My grandmother would have washed my mouth out with soap if I said a word
if
like
If you were
blog.
A little cursor who said blog, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, again, because the military invented the internet, blog is an abbreviation, and it stands for big, little, or gross. B-L-O-G.
Big, little, or gross.
Gross like large or gross like...
Well, that's really the three kinds of websites that are out there. There are big ones, little ones, and gross ones.
Hmm.
That's roughly the internet.
So should we all have blogs? Is blog something you can have, like having a baby? Or is a blog something that happens to you, like getting slashed here on the internet? What is a blog?
So you can get blogged, you mean? Like it's a verb?
Yeah, I mean, like... you have pneumonia or something.
Blogged.
I've been blogged. What is a blog?
Well, I recommend that if you Google blog, you'll get the Wikipedia.
Okay,
article.
What is Google?
Google blog.
What are you saying?
It's a kind of a concept. It's
Paul,
like a
will
way
you get
of...
the dictionary and look up the word Google? I have one
I
right over here.
That. Okay, hold on. Just
yeah,
a second.
There's a volume right over there. If you pick it up. Now, I've heard, Fred, that some of the kids have discovered on what we're calling the internet or the World Wide Web, www, that you can find information. Thanks, Paul. Do you see the word Google
in
there?
I'm working on it.
Google.
A, B, C, D,
E, F, G, Google. Anyway, you're able to find texts and other things on what we're calling the World Wide Web. Is that true, Fred, as you pursue this sort of thing?
Yeah, there are some people who are starting to type the books in to the web. They're putting the books in the web.
Man, that's real typing skills.
Mm-hmm.
So secretaries aren't going to have to just be able to bring a good cup of coffee anymore. They're also going to need some pretty powerful text typing skills if they're going to put all the books in my library on the web. Is that true?
Yeah, this is the wave of the future. So probably a growth industry. You might want to consider.
So people will sit down with their Selectric and they'll put... How does the piece of paper get on the internet?
Can I interrupt?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so
Google.
Wait, hold on. Goodwill, Goodyear, Goofball.
You know, that's none of those words are Google.
Yeah, hold on. Get in there. Google. It is a number one followed by 100 zeros.
So why do you want us to do that to find information?
I can't really explain the complex calculus of the algorithmic variations involved, but basically if you go to this one followed by...
Will I be a cool professor if I do this?
Do I have to put in the one and follow it by 100
zeros? Yeah, and it will bring up all kinds of information. One of the main important information sites that U.S. Americans are using these days on the World Wide Web is Wikipedia. Now, Wikipedia...
All right, right away, we can see that this is a tool of Satan.
Right,
just
it's
like
Wicca,
the double
right?
slash.
I know,
it sounds Wicca.
It sounds evil, but really, Wiki stands for What I Know Is, W-I-K-I. What I Know Is.
But what is the pedia? What's up with that? Does it have to do with feet? You got me thinking about derivation.
No, it's based on feet. It's like an encyclopedia, but everyone can just write down what they know.
Okay, so, no one is going to go to an information source where just anybody can write things down. Like some 16-year-old can say, oh, I think Homer was a cool guy. It's like Homer Simpson.
Well, if he wants to share what he knows, then you can imagine if everyone shared what they know, this would be the best encyclopedia.
What?
And this is what's happening.
Yeah, but most people don't know anything, Fred.
See,
nobody
knows everything, but everybody knows something.
Okay, Wikipedia idea is never going to catch on. It would be like giving everybody a camera and telling them to produce TV and then having them put TV on the internet.
Well, listen.
Come on.
Who do you trust? Do you trust everybody to know everything, or do you trust Mr. Britannica to know everything?
I have always trusted Mr. Britannica. Yeah. I've met Mr. Britannica. If you go to Britain and you meet Mr. Britannica, he sits in a large room full of books and leather. Now, think about the kind of person that could be writing for, what did you call it? Druidpedia?
Yeah, Druidpedia. Wikipedia.
Oh, it's Wikipedia. Whatever.
No, it's
okay.
Wicca, like
so
it's in
here
Druid worship.
Here is this large Chestertonian man sitting in his room with a pipe, and he had read books, Fred, and put them together in the Encyclopedia Britannica. So, Mr. Britannica, I trust you're just masses yearning to be free. This is really socialism, isn't it?
No.
Why not?
It's the wave of the future. You can't stop it.
No.
You can't stop progress. Well, I know this. I want to relate to the kids.
Yeah.
And so the other day when I brought in my Beatles records and was playing them for them, and I said, hey, kids, I have some groovy music that you can relate to. They said something about the digital download of music on something called iTunes. Can you start by telling us what it means to digitally download music, Fred, and why there's an I in front of the tunes?
I cannot. I think that must be Web 2.0, which I've heard about.
I'm not even up to Web 0.5.
Is this the same thing? Are iTunes like, do they have something like iPictures where I could send pictures to people also?
Paul, you know, there are doers and there are people who fantasize. And we are the Lyndon Johnsons of technology here in Torrey. We're just trying to explain how to do things, not to dream dreams.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was just trying to understand you, better.
You've become a Willy Wonka on us.
I don't know how to get to Web 2.0. I don't know if it's a different part of the current internet.
It's in Russia. That's what I was trying to explain to Paul earlier.
With the Web 2.0.
It's in Cyrillic.
It's in Cyrillic. Okay. Oh. Again,
do you
why there's
Cyrillic?
No WWW. No.
You call yourself a theologian.
Yeah.
And all the Karl Barth that's in Russian, none of it can you read. It's all gone for you. Oh, it's humor. Little bit of humor introduced there. Okay, so I'm a professor, and I'm trying to relate to the kids, and I bring in my tunes, which I now call iTunes, because I want to relate to the kids. But somehow when I play the vinyl, it's just not doing it for them, except they say I'm kicking it old school or something like that. I'm not sure really what's going on. What does the internet have to do with music? You don't know, do you?
Yeah, all the music is now on the internet.
All of the music?
All the music?
Yeah, it's all there.
And in what form? I've heard something about 3
PMs. How can you put music
PMs?
On the internet?
It's all there.
Is it
3
PMs? Is that the form that I'm supposed to get them in?
Is it there in vinyl?
How does
the vinyl get to your house?
I'm not the expert on this. You just asked me where the music is, and they've put it all on the web.
All on the internet.
On the web.
Yeah.
What is the web?
That's short. You put a little apostrophe web. It's short for the WWW stands for World Wide Web.
So what is a web? Why is it called a web? It's like Spider-Man is all I can think of. Does the music stick to this web?
Or does it
How
pull
do
you
get
in
to
and
it?
You can't extricate yourself from it?
I don't understand this at all.
It's a rich interconnection of all possible information sources in this sort of meta-trans-mixed-together...
Oh, sort of transmogrifies...
And it's virtual.
Wow. So this is a way of our interfacing in a community between those who are and those who are not.
So the haves and the have-nots, you mean?
Yeah, those who have been locked out of information versus those who could have information. Wow, this is amazing. The future is really going to be something to see. We can imagine a time, and this is hard to believe, where almost all of entertainment and everything will be on this, what did you call it, World Wide Web?
Yes.
You mean like no radio?
What? Okay, we have about 5 minutes left in the show. We're talking to educators, we're talking to moms and dads and grandparents and trying to get them up to speed on what's going on in the internet. As we've sat down with the expertise that we've demonstrated here in the last 15 minutes, thinking about cutting-edge education, cutting-edge technology, let's have some predictions. I'll start the ball rolling. I think the IBM Selectric is on its last legs. Mm. I think that really whiteout and technologies like that, they're not going to make it. I think we're going to have to face the fact inside of universities that a lot of the typing we do, it's going to be on a screen. It's going to be on a CRT. So the cathode ray tube, I would invest in that because I think a lot of what we do is going to be there. Fred, you're the expert here. You're on the university committee that deals with this sort of thing. Where are we headed?
By the year 2010, there will not be any more colleges or universities. There will instead be video games, which you play for enough hours, and then you're educated.
That's awesome.
Wow.
The existing colleges and universities will be turned into shopping malls and entertainment centers.
Yeah, I can see that. I could see people putting on helmets, kind of like football helmets with screens on the front that will shake their heads, you know, yes or no, depending on what's going on. And then the professor will appear in front of them and ask them questions on the screen. And if the student gives the wrong answer, it will jar their head with a sharp burst of pain.
Except fun.
Except it's fun.
It's a game,
right?
And you play it for 4 years, and then you have a college degree.
I've heard the kids are playing games like Pac-Man and Galaxian and some games like that. So these will be educational versions of those with, let's say, math problems and other things.
I have a prediction along this line.
Okay,
I actually
go, Paul.
Think that all of your public library could be accessible. Just like your one public library will be able to
no.
be on. Yeah, I think so. I think that like in probably a little later than your university issue, but what about 2012?
They're
going to
put books.
And
people
I
are going to read whole books.
I think hundreds of books.
hundreds of books are going to appear on this World Wide Web. Well, here's good news. Television, the movie industry, the recording industry, they're ultimately safe from this kind of thing, because when it comes right down to it, CBS, NBC, ABC, they're producing the kind of entertainment, let's say Gilligan's Island. This is not going to be produced.
Right.
You know, classic television.
Not by amateurs.
You know, now sit right back and you'll hear a tale. So I guess as we look at the future, what we can see is that these blogs, what did you say, big, little, or gross?
Yeah, that's it.
Are going to provide us everything we need. And so the higher things, things like Gilligan's Island, I don't know, Brady Bunch, they're going to come to us, as they always have done, through big media, through companies like CBS and NBC. So really, if I were an investor out there, and I was trying to stay up with the kids, what the kids were doing, I would invest in mainline television studios.
Well, because what the blogs will do is point people to television.
Well, here we are at the end of another fascinating discussion. You know, as we do our job every day, sitting in our monastic cells, copying great books on fine vellum to be distributed for the next few centuries, we don't want to be behind the times. You know, there were people here that were opposed to typewriters, and they triumphed. And frankly, it's put us hundreds of years really behind the technological curve. So as we look at the internet, as we imagine pages of manuscripts appearing, you know, however embryonic the internet may be now, I remember the other day I logged on following your instructions, Fred, and I had looked at the entire internet. I came to the end of it.
Yeah. There's an edge out there.
There was nothing more
to
see.
It's kind of a precipice.
Some theorists say that the internet is curved, but
I think it actually falls right off.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, here's the deal. When you work in a library and you read a lot, I had simply read everything there was to read that day. Now, of course, people are adding pages of new information every day to the internet,
right.
And so this was a good thing. But as the internet grows, I want each of you to give me one thing that we can do with our families, with our kids, as we approach the new technology. What's one thing that we can do? Fred?
I've actually got three things, if you can handle them.
Fred, I know that you probably have more than three things that you could give us, but try to hold it to three. Can you give us three things that we need to do?
My top three would be, number one's really basic, get a computer.
Even if we don't have a typewriter yet?
Yeah, just skip straight to the computer stage. This is what the rest of the world's going to be doing.
Fred, my fear is my kids have been using the radio in ways that I really find remarkable. Do you know there are multiple channels on the radio?
Yeah, and multiple bands, whatever that means.
Yeah.
You can modulate
like
the
music,
frequency.
Like different people playing music?
Yeah, or the amplitude. It's crazy.
Wow.
Number two, every family should consider having a family blog where they keep information about themselves that's important. This is a way of keeping up with things. And number three is closely related.
Will it be big, little, or gross?
It should be a big blog, yeah.
So we avoid the gross thing because we're Christian.
Yeah, you don't want to go to that part of the internet anyway. The third thing is closely related to a family blog. It's that every parent should consider constructing a detailed, comprehensive Wikipedia entry about their child. I think if you do these three things, you're really up to speed.
Yeah, that
with
just
the
makes
web
me
revolution.
Laugh, though. I mean, why would people want to read a detailed Wikipedia page about each child? I mean, this is not the kind of information people
I think
need.
It's like parenting tips or something
really,
like that.
Won't the internet lead to a kind of centralization of information so we'll get less information about people? I'm not sure about that, Fred.
Well, those are my three tips.
Okay. Well, you know, you're the expert, so I'll defer to you. But we'll see. I mean, I think the last one's kind of ludicrous, as you could see from the reaction. But
yeah.
All right, you're the expert. Paul Spears. Fred Sanders has given us three things. I think one of them is kind of controversial. The last one may even be ludicrous. But as we look at three things that you think we should do, what are the three things we need to do?
I think the first thing we have to be aware of is storage. How do we store this important Wikipedia-like
we have
information?
File
no,
are we
no,
going to need more
on,
file
on
cabinets?
Computers, what they do is they digitize this material through
lasers.
These magnetic discs that information is I don't know, shocked onto or something.
It's like the old Star Trek.
It
Kirk
is like the old Star Trek.
Get a piece of plastic, put it in.
And what you have to do is go from the 5-inch storage devices. Now this sounds odd. To the 3.5-inch storage devices.
Why would I want to store less? I mean, no, I
know
a lot.
It sounds odd, but everything is getting smaller in this new digitized revolution.
What if
that we're
had
involved
a Google-sized disk?
No, okay. Again, I think that what you have to understand is things are getting smaller. Your computer will get smaller. Your keyboard will get smaller. Your printer will get
but
smaller.
But I'm not getting smaller. I'm getting bigger as the years go by.
No,
well,
that's
I need
just
a
an issue
bigger
of age, though.
Well, then why don't computers get bigger as we get older? There's more of us, but less of them. I don't understand
that. Yeah, technology
that. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
So the other thing that you have to get is a color monitor. Now, the reason that this is important is because when you're reading the text on the page that someone has written about their family, they are able to emphasize different ideas by using the color on the text.
So if we're playing Pong, and lately I've been trying to play Pong with my kids, and I'm making a move, you're saying to me that the Pong cursor, I think is what Fred called it.
That's right.
Or curse him, to try to be sensitive to the women listening to the show.
Or curse it.
Curse it, yes. Might be in color.
No, it could be.
It could be.
This would just add a whole new breadth and dynamic to the kind of
this is a kind of
virtual
reality, really.
Yeah,
it's immersive.
Yeah, I mean, you can just imagine all the possibilities.
It's like your helmet.
And actually, 16-bit color is the one you wouldn't really want to look for that.
Bit of what?
I don't know, parts, pieces of color,
okay.
I guess.
Anyway,
I guess it's like Roy G. Biv, right?
On to your third thing.
And then the final thing that I think that you need to do is you could actually use this this computer to do things like your family. You could use it to balance your checkbook. You could use it to keep your personal finances on, to order your life, to organize it.
So you should
even keep lists for groceries and things on it.
It's really
practical tool.
I can
that
see
we
this.
Need to use
Maybe
more
we should
effectively.
Put our personal finances on Wikipedia, Fred. We like our social security number and things like that, so that people can find.
Well,
us.
I would actually keep all that of that work, data yeah. on there, so that if you're like somewhere else and you want to access
inside
of Wikipedia. Yeah, I would recommend that you put your credit card numbers and your social security number.
On Wikipedia, that's good.
It's counterintuitive, but it's the best defense. If your identity is out there in public, who can steal it?
Yeah, well, that's
because everybody knows it.
And if everybody's on the World Wide Web, who will steal identity?
No,
well,
because I wouldn't steal yours because you could then steal mine.
Let me conclude with three things that I found valuable about the internet. You know, my job on the show is to kind of play everyman, the ignorant guy who doesn't know what's going on. But I've spent a lot of time with new technology, and there are really three cutting edge things that have helped me. The first is investment strategies. One of the greatest things you'll discover when you're on the internet getting what we fondly call email is that there are people in Nigeria and in other places in the world who are going to give you some really awesome investment opportunities. And you need to seize those while you can, because unfortunately...
They won't be here for long, will
No,
they?
Unfortunately, because the internet is a big medium, the opportunities come to everybody, and you miss that ship when it comes in, that's bad. So it's generally a good idea to respond quickly to those opportunities so that you can help people escape dictatorships and other things. The amazing amount of good I've been able to do.
So you're saying this gives you an opportunity to actually extricate people from their sort of financial crises?
Financial crises, okay. Yeah. If you can invest in a computer and simply respond to every email you get immediately, you'll find that that's a good strategy. I think the second thing that I'd really encourage people to do is to start thinking about themselves in a different way. They need to start thinking of themselves less as persons and more as a collection of bits and data themselves. I think long term, it's not going to be Web 1.0. It's not going to be Web 2.0. It's going to be Web YOU. Hmm. We're all going to be on the internet eventually. The internet is going to be bluntly us. When we say about someone, he interfaced with her, this is going to be literal someday. Someday, we're all going to refer to our ears as USB ports. And we're going to refer to our noses as printer ports.
So our heads as drives.
As drives, okay. As storage. And so I think if we don't go all the way with this, we're always going to be behind.
Man.
And the worst thing that can happen to the church, bluntly, is to always be behind. So let's not be behind.
You are crashing my hard drive.
Yeah, that's right. And we need to find cool technology. The third thing, we need to talk to our kids about their computer use. You know, a lot of kids, they're going to want to visit church sites and download sermon materials. And once you start doing that kind of thing, it's hard to stop. I know the other day I was talking to a young man here at Biola who discovered, well, I don't know if you know this, Fred, but Al Mohler is on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And he has hundreds of sermons. And I discovered that that poor young man had been sitting for hours listening to hundreds and hundreds of Al Mohler sermons.
And he could be outside.
Yeah. Well, and Mohler's just a gateway drug. I mean, there's a world of Piper out there on the internet.
No, I didn't know that. I did see, you know, it's the kind of thing you have to be careful of.
I hear that they put some radio programs
on the internet. You've got to talk to your kids about this. There's nothing worse than coming into your room and seeing your kid huddled up with John Piper's Desiring God.
Or listening to Hugh Hewitt.
Yeah. It's all going to be there. It's all going to be out there. It's a dangerous world. Make sure your kid's in it. Well, this is John Mark Reynolds for Fred Sanders and Paul Spears and Middlebrow, a service of Scriptorium Daily, where the internet, Al Gore's greatest invention, has undergone the digital martyrdom.